God bless you, saints. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Let's just bless the reading of the word before we get into this little study. Lord, we're just thankful, Lord, to be able to gather around your word once more, and we just ask your blessing upon the services today, Lord, and bless us as we study these things out. We ask in your name. Amen. So Hebrews, we got to Hebrews 4:11, and Paul was saying, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And the last few Sunday school lessons, we were talking about what rest is, and we're resting on the promises of Christ and resting on his revealed word. And when you get to, as you meditate on these things, when you begin to realize why Paul said in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, because the word is what we're resting in, and the word is what is actually active in our life, and the word is what discerns where we are in our Christian walk. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You think even, you know, as you just reading like through the Ten Commandments, how that the word can discern if there's something wrong in your life. You know, and Jesus began to magnify those Ten Commandments when he began to preach about how if there's something wrong in your heart that would make you want to look after a woman, you've committed adultery already with her in your heart, and all those things. Because the word is the discerner. Is there something wrong with me? That's why the Bible says, and just looking at a different translation of that scripture, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So the word is like a surgeon's knife that can go in and root out the problem areas of your thinking. And if there's a disease in your soul, that can root that out and cut it out and begin to do surgery. And I've got that picture of a penitent sinner, you know, crying out to God, leaning over the pulpit or the chair there, the pew there, because that's what the effect that the word has in someone's life. It begins to transform them to realize that they need something from God. Brother Bram in the Patmos vision, he said, now Paul said that the word came in power as well as voice. The word preached actually demonstrated itself. Like a flaming cutting sword, it went to the consciences of men, and like a surgeon's knife, it cut out the diseases and set captives free. Everywhere those early believers went, they went preaching the gospel, and God confirmed that word with signs following. The sick were healed, devils were cast out, and they spoke in new tongues. That was the word in action. That word has never failed in the mouths of believing Christians. And in this last age, it is here stronger and greater than ever in the true word bride. Oh, little flock, you little minority, hold on to the word. Fill your mouth and heart with it, and someday God will give you the kingdom. That's the word is not something just like a dictionary or a Shakespeare novel or something that we're reading. It's actually something that gives us power over the devil, that gives us the ability to withstand his, you know, when the devil begins to come to you with thoughts in your mind, the word is what you hold that sword of faith out, and it can block everything that the devil's sending to you, the shield of faith, the sword of the word. And so the word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. And Brother Branham said it cuts asunder the carnal from the spiritual. In other words, you know, you listen to that sermon, Anointed Ones at the End Time, and boom, all of a sudden the spirit and the soul is divided, and you begin to see that the difference between somebody that's just anointed in their spirit and somebody that's really at rest with their soul. There's somebody maybe that's hopping around in church, like Paul said, bodily exercise profiteth little. That's great to get anointed in the church service and run up and down the aisles, but you really want that rest down in your soul is what you're after. Bodily exercise profiteth little to jump and run and things. That's great to be able to do those things. And you see the word when it begins to be preached, it divides asunder the soul and the spirit and the body. So you know when the word is being preached, it has an effect in your life and you begin to understand. It gives you confidence in where you are with God. Cutting asunder the carnal from the spiritual. And what does discern mean? We cover that a little bit. Discern means to distinguish. So when you're held up, when you're faced with the mirror of God's word, like I've got this little picture of a man being confronted with the law, with the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, it discerns what's in your heart. It discerns where you are. Are you a murderer? Are you a thief? Are you a liar? And you know, I love watching videos of street preachers, and this is usually one of the things that street preachers will do. I have a huge respect for street preachers. They'll hold up the law to the people on the street, and the law will convict people because they begin to realize that if you're a liar and you're a thief, or you've done the things that the Ten Commandments are saying, that you've ever disrespected your mom and daddy and those kind of things, that you're guilty and you need a Savior. And so that's what the Word is doing. It's discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, maybe the preacher doesn't even know what's going on in somebody's life, but all they're doing is holding up the word to the situation. And when you hold the word up, it begins to discern in that person's life that there's something wrong. So the preacher is not doing the judging. The word is doing the judging. The preacher is not doing the discerning necessarily, but the word is the thing that's doing the judging and the discerning. And discern means to distinguish. Is it right or not? Is it righteous or not? Are you righteous or not? And what the word is, it's like a light, like a flashlight that shines on the situation. As soon as the light comes on, you know, you go into an old house and you turn the light on and the cockroaches begin to scatter. Because that's what Brother Brown preached that sermon. There's a man here that can turn on the light. There's darkness where your mind is veiled to the truth. But when the word is preached, then that's the power of the gospel, that it can take that veil from over your eye and cause you to begin to see things, to see the word as it really is. Through thy precepts I get understanding, David said. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Like that story that Brother Branham told of the little man that was walking home from church and he held his lantern out in front of him because Brother Branham asked him, how are you going to get home? I just take one step at a time. That's how the word is. The word, you know, even in your Christian journey, when you're born again, you don't really know where the end of the journey is, but you just keep stepping and stepping until the stature of perfect man begins to open up, the capstone begins to open up, and it opens up because you just put one step in front of the other, walking and walking by the light of God's word. And the light of God's word is so powerful that everything is exposed to God. Paul said in verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And you think about it, that God knows everything about every kind of, how much tile a gnat is ever going to have in its eye, how many times a mosquito is going to bat its wings. He knows the nature of a dove, and he knows the nature of that thing way down in the bottom of the sea that has a little, like that picture, those scary things down in the bottom of the sea. And he knows what is good or great in your heart. He knows what's horrible in your heart sitting here this morning. He knows whether down in your soul you're righteous or down in your soul you need a redeemer right now. Everything is exposed to him.
Yes.
So Paul said, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, after he's laid out all of these things, so we've got this great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession.
Amen.
Now, Paul talked about your confession a little bit in Hebrews chapter 3, but I just want to reiterate that because this is each one of those little things that Paul says is so packed with goodness and riches. It's like eating just a rich cake. It's so full of good things. Hold fast our profession. You think about, put this image in your mind that we've got a high priest and he's seated in the throne of our heart And he's waiting on us to take God's word and then to speak it and to say, I believe what has already been spoken. I believe what God said. I believe what the prophet of this day said. I believe what Paul said. And when you speak it, it something begins to happen. Speaking, profession, and Brother Ram said that profession and confession are really the same thing, but when you speak, you're speaking based on what you believe. When you believe it and you speak it, something begins to change. And where are you speaking from? You're speaking from your heart. And you know, whatever's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. If your heart is filled up with evil things, and out of that evil heart is going to come evil things. That's why you know, believers, we don't believe in cussing and swearing and doing all those kind of things like the people in the world do, because that's evil conversation coming out of an evil heart. But when your heart is transformed, out of that transformed heart is going to come treasures and a good confession and a confession where you're saying all things are possible to them that believe. You're saying victory is mine, or you're saying God, he's going to restore everything back from what they lost back down through the seven church ages. You're going to say things like that. That's why in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said, "O generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Amen. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. Now, how you want to get good treasure in your heart is you pack it in by reading the Bible. So you're packing, as we unpack these scriptures, these are like treasures to us. And you pack it into your heart. Now you've got something that you can speak, that you can live off of. When trials come and troubles come, you can quote back. You can speak back that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was wounded for my transgressions. Whatever life throws at you, you speak back from your heart, knowing that God is able. Brother Brown said, and accept God's gift. He said, now when you believe you were saved, sitting in your seat out in the wherever you was, you accepted it and begin to confess and tell people you were saved. Well, you kept on saying, I'm saved. The people said, there ain't no difference in you, but you believe there was. See, now you got that packed in your heart. Because why do you believe it is? Because the Bible says it. And you got it packed in your heart. Now you're speaking from that treasure. He said, is that right? And you kept with your confession, and after a while, it worked righteousness. And all your neighbors and everybody knows you're saved now because you believed it, you confessed it. Why? What happened? What changed you? He's the high priest of your confession, sitting at the right hand of the Father, making good what you're confessing. He's making good what you speak. Brother Ram said he's sitting at the right hand of the Father to make good anything that we confess that he has done. He died on the cross for my sins. He paid the price for my salvation. He's already done it. But you got to speak it. So you pack it in your heart and you believe it and then you speak it. He cannot do nothing for us until first we confess that he has done it and act upon it. He can't do not one thing for us till we accept it and say that we have accepted it and believe it and testify of it. I just ran through and pulled out all these things just kind of lumped them together that Brother Ram said about your confession. He said, God can't do nothing to you till first you confess that he is. Then when you confess it, then believe it, act upon it, and stay with it, and God will bring you out. He said, Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father to accept you, for he's sitting there, the high priest of your confession, to make good before the Father anything that he died for, that you're confessing that he done. Every sinner is saved tonight in the sight of Jehovah God, but it'll never do you any good until you accept it and believe it and confess it. And then he's the high priest of your confession to make it right before God. Jesus is the high priest of your confession. Whatever you confess that he's doing, he'll do. Whatever you say. And three kinds of believers, Brother Adam said, we haven't got no thought coming. It's what he said. Now, if I read in the Bible what he said, and I believe it, and then I speak it, something's got to happen. He said, you deny your own thinking. That means that if you see the cloudy skies and the winds and the waves going everywhere, it don't matter. If you see your children leaving and sickness in your home, it doesn't matter. All that matters is what God said. You just say what he says. That's really confession. Confession means to say the same thing. If I confess that a certain thing taking place, I say the same thing that taking place. That's what real confession is. And he's the high priest of our confession. See, saying the same thing God said, see, that makes it right because you're just repeating God's word. Of course, you know, how do you know what to say if you don't get in the word? And you see why God's bringing us up? You start off speaking from a baby. That's how you come out of the egg. But you don't really know what to say. And then the words get packed in, the word gets packed in, and God brings you to a place where he can open the seals and really open the word up to you. And then you're getting to a place where you know what God wants done with the word. You know whether God wants to fill people with the Holy Ghost, and you know how things begin to work. And so you're coming to a place where you know how to speak it. You started from an egg, see? Wherever you are, you come out of that egg just like an eagle does. Like we stood it out in the greatest battle ever fought, you come out, that eagle comes out with its mouth. And that's how you come out, with your mouth, by speaking, by what you say. And accept God's gift. Brother Branham said, now healing is not something that you just say, I believe it. Now that's all right. If that's the best you can do just mentally, or just say, well, yeah, I see it. I believe that. I accept it. Then if you accept it on this basis, keep saying it over and over. Say it out loud. Say it over and over. Just keep saying, I'm healed, I'm healed. Say it until actually you believe it. And when you believe it, then it's going to take place. Don't have a negative testimony. Every time when you confess, well, I still feel bad today, you go right straight back in the same rut that you was in the beginning. There's not a man or a woman in here that is baptized with the Holy Spirit, but what would start your confession? I believe I've lost the Spirit. I believe it's gone from me. I believe you'll go right down. Listen close. You'll never live above your confession. That's a pretty weighty statement, that you'll never live above your confession. So if we want to go high, let's keep our confession high. That I believe God is with us. I believe he ain't left us. I believe he's here in the building this morning. I believe that the Bible says that he's nigh you, that the word is even in your mouth. That you don't have to go running around looking for him, that he's here. And you speak that, and something will begin to change. That's why Romans chapter 10 says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh. Isn't that interesting that he used those words? That faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall ascend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. You've already packed the word into your heart. Now just speak it. And then that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You're not going to be ashamed after this word is packed into your heart to say, I believe it. To testify to your coworkers, to testify to your friends, to share the gospel. When bad things come your way, to say, I believe that God is still with me because his word says it is, says he is. Even in 1 John, John said, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth, that speaks that revelation, a present tense revelation, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. That's how you know. That's how you can discern, is every spirit that speaks the present tense revelation of Jesus Christ. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. And Hebrews 11, that we're making our way to, said, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. What's the sacrifice of praise? The fruit of your lips. The fruit of your lips is your sacrifice of praise, giving thanks to his name. Now, I think it's so interesting that even from your very first, the very beginning of your Christian journey, you're going to start out speaking. You know, so many times when Brother Branham would, when he would baptize somebody, he would, just if you go back and study out the way he would baptize somebody, he would weave in there that he's doing it upon their confession. You know, you think about the stories of where Brother Ram would say that one lady, she said, I want to be dunked. And he said, you're not ready to be baptized. Amen. Because what kind of confession did she have?
Right.
Maybe look back in your own journey. I remember growing up, I hear people say, well, I think it would be cool to be baptized. And just thinking to myself, I don't know if you understand what it is. So when you understand what you're doing, and you have a confession that I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins, and you're going down in the water based on that confession, you see, when you come up, something's going to happen. And you look at all these places where Brother Ram would, he'd say it, upon your confession. These are places where he's baptizing somebody. Upon your confession of your faith and your consecration to our Lord, I baptize thee, my beloved sister. Upon your confession of the Son of God, I baptize thee. So then I said in another place, he said, upon your confession of your faith, upon your confession of your sins and your faith in the Son of God, I baptize thee, my beloved brother, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, that's the way I baptize. He's baptized because of your confession matters. When you're going down in the water speaking something that you know why you're there, and it's not just because somebody told you to go or because that something's happened in your heart and you believe and you're speaking it. And there was this little brother, Edward Colvin, was the 17th person that Brother Brown was baptizing there on the river, on the Ohio River. And look at the way that he said he baptized him. He said, Edward, do you know what I'm doing now? I am baptizing you. See, he's asking him, do you know what I'm doing? Because if you know, something it changes everything. I said, I'm baptizing you, showing to this audience out here that you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. When I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, you take on his name. You rise for a new life. And when you leave here, you're to walk a new life. Do you understand that, Edward? And he said, I do. Bow your head. And he said, Heavenly Father, as this young man has confessed his faith in you, see, he's speaking out what he's been packing in. And as thou hast commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel and so forth, and he went on and baptized him, and that light came down out of heaven, and a voice spoke as John the Baptist forerun, this message will forerun my second coming. So Brother Branham said, well, we're going on to the next scripture. For we have, verse 15, for we have an high priest. We've got a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Brother Branham said, and how can I overcome? Temptation was for him. You know that? The Bible said he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He was tempted by drinking. And in other words, he knows what we're going through. No matter what your place in life, we've got somebody that's touched by the feelings of our infirmities that realizes that our predicament in life.
Yes.
He was tempted by women. He was tempted by everything that could be tempted by. He was tempted by everything that we are. He was a man, and yet you couldn't put a mark on him. In verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We've got a high priest that has given us rest, that is now laboring within us, that understands what we're going through. A high priest that's packing us full of good treasures from his word. So why not come boldly if you have need of anything? If his word says that you have access to something, amen, let's speak it and go forward and come boldly.
Yes.
My brother Ram in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, that message that he preached, and we'll be closing here in just a moment. He said these first five chapters are positionally placing Jesus as high priest. God in sundry times and divers manners spake to the fathers through the prophets, but in this last day through his son Jesus. Then on down to the ending up of the fifth chapter, we find him represented as Melchizedek, who had no beginning of days, no ending of your life, but continually a priest forever. Think of it. Who was this great man? We'll get it in about two more chapters. The entire life of him we're going to study. This great man who met Abraham, who never had any papa, never had any mama. He never had any time he ever began life, or he never will have a time that he will ever end life. And he met Abraham coming from the slaughters of the king. So he's positionally placed Jesus Christ as the high priest. And where is he at? He's working in the throne of your heart. Now picture this Christ, the Old Testament high priest. Now he's taking your confession, the high priest of your confession, and he's working with it. He's bringing it to pass in your life, doing something, enthroned on your heart. As we read through Hebrews, the first part of Hebrews 5 before we close here, he said in Hebrews 5, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh his honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The musicians can go ahead and come forward. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard and that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. God bless you.